to my Dean's List A-list interviews, including the man that you probably know best as Walter White, two-time Emmy Award winner Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, has just turned out so many great performances, not only on television, but on stage, winning a Tony Award, playing Lyndon Johnson, and now with this other non-fictional role of Dalton Trumbo, the Hollywood blackballed Hollywood screenwriter. We got together with Bryan recently, and he talked a little about what an amazing role this was for an actor.
I do. I think there's relevance to look at it in perspective of today's events. However, I tend to be optimistic, and our country is going through changes constantly, and we should accept that. The same-sex marriage has changed, global health care, you know, we're looking at the NSA wanting wiretaps and that sort of thing. And I think what the message of Trumbo illustrates is that the conversation of civil rights that have been long fought and held should always be part of the equation, that there shouldn't be just carte blanche to be able to go and do as any government wishes they want to do. But there should always be that reverence toward the civil rights in our Constitution.
Yeah. And you know, from my perspective as a journalist, the complete misuse of the media, Ed Hopper, et cetera, in character assassination on people. It's so fascinating on so many different levels. And these real-life characters that you love to bring to life, it seems. I mean, you obviously have done your share of nonfiction, but Lyndon Johnson and now this great portrayal of this. Is there a difference as an actor, the two real people?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you do a nonfictional character, there's the added responsibility element to it, that this man was alive, this man existed, and they're making a story about him, so there must be a certain amount of achievement or accomplishment from that person. So other people who may have known him at the time, for instance, Dalton's two daughters are here and consult in the movie, helped me greatly to get a sense of their father. I want to honor that and pay respect toward that. You're in sort of a I don't want to say confinement, but you know the boundaries when you're doing a non-fictional character.
Or a little more defined.
It's a little more defined. Yeah. When you're doing a fictional character, it could, who knows where it could go.
Your canvas is a little bit greater.
Yeah.
There has to be a little Breaking Bad talk in any conversation with you. Our Chicago pal, Bob Odenkirk, with his Better Call Saul, I'm hoping you're loving it as much as the rest of us. Will you think you'd ever be on it? Will there ever be a Breaking Bad movie?
I don't think there'll be a Breaking Bad movie. Well, Walter White is dead, so I don't know how you can. I guess you can resurrect him.
Prequel.
Or make a prequel, yeah. But he was before. I don't think so.
No.
I'm not really interested in that because it came to such a wonderful conclusion. I was very satisfied with it. I lived through it, and it's now a part of my past.
Yeah.
That being said, I would make an appearance on Better Call Saul if it was the right thing to do. If Vince and Gilligan said, we have an idea, I think it would be fun.
And just to show what a great actor you are, it's about 500 degrees in this room. You haven't even broken a sweat. I'm like Albert Brooks in Broadcast News right now,
like
sweating
dripping.
Profusely.
There's mushrooms growing.
I'd forgotten about how it was blazing hot in that room when we did that interview with the great Bryan Cranston. Just as great in the movie, though, Academy Award winner Helen Mirren, who plays a gossip columnist Hedda Hopper in this film. Just a fantastic, fantastic role for her. Great costumes, over the top. And giving you an idea of the kind of power that this woman wielded when she was the gossip columnist in America.
What a meaty little role.
Wonderful.
Not a big leading role, but a lovely, nice little, nugget
how
in the middle
fun
of
is something like this
of
for
a
you.
Great movie, yeah. Well, you know, great fun. And, you know, you couldn't imagine Hedda, could you? I mean, if you were to make up a character, it would be very difficult to imagine, make up anyone as sort of extraordinary and extreme and eccentric but fierce as Hedda. I mean, just the name alone, Hedda Hopper. What a weird name is that?
That I read she picked up by going to a numerologist. There's a long story. Look it up sometime.
Oh, I must look that up. I think her first husband, who had a series of wives who were all called things like Heidi and Hella and
enjoyed the alliteration.
And he kept getting the names wrong. So she sort of said, you know, Hedda. And I think she changed her name to Hedda.
There she did.
Too, so he could get it right.
So it would be consistent
in the throes of passionate love.
What a interesting multidimensional personality. But I mean, just as an actress to take on that much heft of a person.
Yes.
But also. One incredible outfit after another, over the top, outrageous.
Really. And she did. And I kept going in costume fittings. Isn't that like a bit much? Like, do we really need this big frill and the spots and the bow and the thing? Or could we like take a couple of things away? And the costume designer said, "No, Helen."
Yeah.
And he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, because she did. It was. She loved clothes, and she spent a lot of money on clothes. And she always actually looked an absolute mess, really. Yeah. It was all too much.
It was crazy. Yeah. That was part of the persona, I suppose.
Yes, and I wonder if it was a sort of costume that she put on, in a way it was her brand.
Mm.
Certainly the hats were a brand. She knew it made her stand out in a crowd, you know.
Well, you know, we learned so much about her in this film. I mean, I think one of the most interesting things about this movie, it's about all the characters that you play, but this is a movie that I think is so relevant to what's happening in the world right now, and especially Hedda Hopper's character of someone who uses her position of power in the media to try to manipulate public opinion and change public opinion. I don't really think that much has changed in all these years.
No, but I think what has changed substantially is that no one will ever again have the power that Hedda had because of the dissemination, the proliferation of media. No one person has 32 million people reading their column, and only their column. Do you know what I mean? Every week. That was why she wielded such a big stick in Hollywood. And she could. And you see it in the movie. You see her threaten even someone as mighty as John Wayne. She could have brought down if she really wanted to.
You don't think
she brought Charlie Chaplin down?
Yeah.
You know, she could bring down titans of the industry just by a relentless campaign. And if she wanted to, luckily John Wayne was on her side of the fence. You know, but if she'd wanted to, she could have brought down John Wayne. She could have brought down anyone. She could have brought down a studio.
Yeah, you don't think that some of the talking heads that are on TV don't have that many followers because media is so diversified
now? Well, it's so diversified,
But there are personalities that use their positions in power in the public spotlight to try to manipulate
public view. Oh, yes, there are, absolutely. Usually they're right-wing sort of, radio. And the Rush Limbaughs, obviously, of the world. Once upon a time, the Glenn Becks. I don't know who it is nowadays. You saw that at its most extreme in Rwanda, the time of massacres. Radio was very important, a tool. It was the sort of, it was the radio personalities saying, we must get rid of this tribe, must kill them.
Yeah.
And that actually did precipitate the massacre.
The movie is called Trumbo. It is in theaters right now. Cannot recommend it enough for you. Dean's List A on that. 11:58 coming up on our Food Time show today. Thanksgiving to go. How about making it a little more stress-free for you? We'll get to that coming up next.